Hebrews chapter number 11. I know I preached the other Sunday night on faith. Boy, I'm glad that we can have faith in the world that does not believe that faith exists. Faith is still real. Amen. And it said faith was substance. That means faith is something tangible. It's something real, something you can get a hold of. Amen. I'm glad faith is real. But, man, I got to reading down through this Hall of Fame of Faith. Amen. I like the Hall of Fame of sports, but I do like sports. See who hit the most home runs. See who pitched the most no-hitters. I mean, see who ran the most yardage in football. Boy, it's pretty good stuff to read stuff like that, to see stuff like that. And them, a lot of times they'll take somebody's jersey. They play basketball. Hang it up in the gymnasium because they've done such an amazing job playing basketball for a certain team. But here God you can't say how many, but as far as the main ones, he took Moses, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Enoch, and Abel. So he took six main characters in the book of Hebrews and brings out stories about them. He said time would fail him to tell of Samson and Jephthah and Gideon, and there's a lot more he names. But man, you got to reading these heroes of faith. I believe they were heroes for a reason. And I believe if children, young people, and adults are going to look for a hero, I believe the best hero I know of is Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians. Amen. Thank God for heroes. Amen. I have good heroes of the faith. Amen. I do. I got some good men of God and good women. I don't just think about men, but I think about good women who've shown me the way to live, how to live right, how to do right. And I see their life and see how I ought to have a prayer life. Amen. I know some women who could pray circles around some men. Amen. Amen. But my mamma can pray better than most preachers I've ever heard pray. Amen. I'll just be honest with you about it. I believe women, and listen, God even believes that because he put it in Hebrews 11. He put Sarah in there. He put Rahab, the harlot, in there. He put her in there. Hebrews 11, she made it. She got two women. So boy, men and women can get their name, can be honored by God for having the right kind of faith. But I got to read in verse 4. And I want to go with the first one this morning. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And if God will help me for a little while, I want to preach on this thought the Lord put on my heart. A young man who believed in the blood. A young man who believed in the blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come to church this morning. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, you'd preach with power and with unction. I pray, God, that I know the devil's got some power, but you've got all power. And I pray, dear God, you take over this service. You've already met with us during singing. I pray you'd meet with us during preaching time. And you'd speak to our heart and stir us for your glory and for your honor. Somebody here's lost. It's be the glad morning they get saved. Somebody saved, but out of the will of God. It's be the glad morning they get right. Somebody called on God. This be the morning they get on fire more than they ever been before. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Boy, I got looking here, a young man who believed in the blood. Boy, I believe there's anything that we miss in our day is the blood. Amen. I remember going to Florida. And me and Malia was going down to Florida to do a church, and boy, they began to sing it. Now, they had the King James Bible. I'll say that about them. Had the King James Bible. But they got to singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a sinner like me. I said, boy, that ain't the right word. You say, you nitpicking. Well, I got to look at that word wretched. That word wretched means suck deep in despair. But I thought, why change that word? That word means something to me. That's a good word. I was sunk deep in despair before I got saved. Amen. Amen. And so was every other lost man, woman, boy, or girl before they got saved. Amen. Boy, I got to. And then went to another place one time. They took out the word blood. And boy, there's a lot of people taking blood out in the song book. Boy, they don't like a song filled with blood. But I'm telling you, Bible, this song right here tells us there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Well, I know this ain't inspired, but it's got some pretty good stuff in it. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I tell you this morning, oh, how precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It is the blood. It is the blood. Amen. If you take blood out of your Bible, you'll have a dead book. Bible says, for the life without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins, but the life of the flesh is in the blood. No forgiveness without blood, but there's no life without blood. So if there's no life without blood and you've got a songbook without blood, it's dead. That's why they're dead. Amen. Hey, because they ain't got a book that's alive. Amen. That's why we got a Bible that's got blood in it. It's a living book. That's why we got a Bible that talks about His blood. Amen. Amen. Thank God for His blood. Amen. One man said it was his death, and his death was enough. His death did pay the payment, but I'm telling you, the way we're cleansed and washed and forever forgiven is the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. If God did not think it took blood, then why did He mention the blood in the first place? Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from part of our sin. No, from all sin. Amen. All unrighteousness. Amen. I'm glad for the blood. Here's a young man who believed in the blood. No matter what his older brother said. No matter what his older brother believed. He believed it was the blood that was going to get him in. He believed the blood was going to get him saved. He believed the blood was going to make a difference. Amen. A young man who believed in the blood. But I'll give you this, and I'll get right in the message. If you read the book of Hebrews, not just chapter 11, but the whole book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews has been called by some people the better book. The better book. Not that it's better than other books of the Bible, but it talks about Jesus being better. Because He is better. Amen. He's better than all things. Yeah. Amen. If you read the Bible in Hebrews, and I'll give you where you can go read, but Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 3. I ain't gonna read all these verses, but I'm going to tell you, He's better than the prophets. Yeah. He's better than the prophets. He's better than Jeremiah. He's better than Isaiah. He's better than Amos. He's better than Zechariah. They ain't a one of them that holds a candle to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Chapter number 1, verse 4 said He's made so much better than the angels. Amen. He's not only better than prophets, but He's better than every angel that ever lived. Gabriel don't have nothing on Jesus. And Michael don't have nothing on Jesus. Amen. Hey, none of them, Seraphim or cherubim. Hey, none of them got nothing on the Lord Jesus. He's better than all angels. He's better than Moses, chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. He's a better hope in chapter 7, verse 19, that we have a better hope. We got a better hope, and I got better than that. We got a better hope built on better promises, amen. In chapter 8, verse 6, tells us that we have better promises, amen. We have a better sacrifice, chapter 9, verse 23. Amen. We have a better country that we're headed to, chapter 11, verse 16. We have better blood in chapter number 12 and verse 24. I'm glad this book is a book of betters. Jesus is better. He's always been better. Always will be better. Amen. Amen. Let me give you this. Chapter number 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. But I thought about this young man who believed in the blood. First of all, I see a comparison that mentioned in this verse. A comparison of his blood sacrifice. He believed in the blood, but there was a comparison made between his belief in the blood and Cain's belief. And boy, I got to look at that. If you want to, you can turn with me. If you don't, you can listen as I read it to you. But Genesis chapter number 4. And what's amazing is both these guys grew up in the same home. You know, lost people and saved people can grow up in the same home. Yes, right. Amen. Some of you sitting here may have a brother that's lost. or a sister that's lost, but they grew up in the same home that you grew up in, and yet they are made lost without God. Amen. Because it does not matter what home you grow up in. It does not matter who your mama and daddy is. All that matters is if you're saved. Amen. But chapter 4, verse 1 of Genesis said, "And Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." If I got reading that, you ever notice that she doesn't say the same thing about Abel as she said about Cain? Said, boy, I got somebody from the Lord. I got a man from the Lord. Right. And then Abel comes, and she doesn't say a thing about Abel. Yeah. Hey, and I got thinking about that. I wonder if he was the one who was thought to be. Well, he'll never amount because he's a younger son. A lot of times in the Bible, if you're the younger, you're not the one that gets the blessing. You're not the one that gets the land. You're not the one that gets the house. You're not the one that gets the money. You're not the one who gets the prestige. You're not the older one, so you don't get nothing. And boy, I thought a lot of them. Man, here's a young man named Abel, and he's wrote down in the Bible in a good way, and Cain, thought to be the good man, turns out to be the bad man. Amen. Amen. Hey, so a lot of times we think somebody's going to turn out all right. Hey, but if they're lost without God, they won't. Yeah. Amen. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Can I tell you, Cain worked hard. He was a tiller of the ground. I tell you, yesterday we got land, and I was going to till it. And Leah's uncle is a God bless him, a good man. Because I was going to use a tiller yesterday and just till the whole thing up myself. Because I ain't got no tractor. So I mean, I just thought, well, I'll just till it up, you know. That's what I was going to do. Anyway, bad things, it's hard as a rock. Dirt's hard as rock. But I never did get tiller out. And I never got, I was going to use our granny and pa's tiller, so I was going to use. Because I used it before. And I was getting ready to use that thing. And they called me and said, hey, Marty called me and said, hey, man, you need ground tore up. You need some plowing done. I said, well, I'm going to use that tiller. It's all right. He said, no big deal. I said, I get it. He said, no, you ain't. He said, I'll be over there with a tractor. Praise the Lord, man. Bring tractor. Amen. He said, now, wasn't that a whole lot easier than a tiller? I said, oh, yes. Whole lot easier than a tiller. Amen. He said, it took you all day. I said, well, I planned on it. I done it cleared out today. That's what I was going to do. Till ground all day. Amen. Believe it. That's why I done planned on the whole day. Tilling time. I thought that's what's going to happen. But here's a man. He ain't got no tiller either. Think about old Cain here. He is not some wimp. I mean, he's a tough guy. Cain's a tough guy. Come out. Here I am. I was going to use one with a motor on it. But Cain ain't even got a motor. He is the motor. He is the most. How did he till the ground? I don't know. If you find it in the Bible, you show me. I couldn't find nowhere. How did I till the ground? I'm going to tell you what I think. I think it's hard. In fact, the Bible said he's going to curse the ground, and it's going to be thorns and thistles. It's going to be hard. He's going to do it by sweat of his own brow. It's going to be hard work. And by the way, I'm for hard work. Amen. I'm for hard work, ain't you? I bless the Lord for having somebody run a tractor, but I'm just telling you, I am for somebody working hard. Amen. I believe it'd be a whole lot less crime if we make teenagers that are getting in that trouble work all day to where they can't hardly do anything when they do get home. Amen. Amen. They're so tired from working they can't do nothing but sleep. Amen. Amen. If you ain't never got that tired, you need to work. Amen. I guarantee everybody in here, as a man or a lady, a lot of you ladies have done the same thing, got so tired and wore out from working throughout the day that you laid down. And all you thought about was bed. Amen. Wore out. Here Cain, he ain't some slacker. He's not really a bad person. He ends up being a bad person. But he's not really that bad of a guy. You look at Cain, he really is no different than a hard-working man in this room this morning. No different than a hard-working lady this morning. No different than anybody this morning in this building or outside of this building. A hard-working individual. Amen. Well, I read about Cain, know this. He said he was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Both of them worked hard either way. But listen to this. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. But I wrote down that comparison. The where of this comparison. Where is this? What is compared? What's compared? One thing is this. One of them is brought out of the flock. One of them is brought out of the ground. And I got thinking, what is the, I understand the Bible. I know that it's a blood sacrifice. I understand that. But why? What's the big deal about Cain? Well, I got to reading about Cain. And listen to this. He brought, I know we're getting ready to get to Abel, but listen to this. He brought out of the fruit of the ground. But listen to chapter 3 and verse 21, or verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. So what he brought was a curse from Almighty God. He brought something that had been cursed. I don't care what you bring this morning. When you got saved, you could not have brought good works. You couldn't have brought your good deeds. You couldn't have brought how much money you gave to certain charities, or how much you loved old homeless, or how much you gave money to somebody to eat, or how you gave somebody clothing when they didn't have clothing. I tell you, people do that all the time and still die and go to hell because they've never been saved. Yeah. Because no matter what you offer, it's been cursed. It's been cursed. Listen to this. The where of it. Let me say the why. What's the big deal? Why not take the offering of what Cain has worked so hard to give him? And why? Abel didn't work hard. He didn't work hard to get these babies born. That mama sheep brought that baby sheep in the world. Not Abel. All he did was catch. That's all he did. Or come out there and find them after they'd already been born. Abel didn't do it. Abel didn't do anything about it. He came and got what had already been born, or he caught. He didn't do anything. He didn't do it. It wasn't the work of Abel. So here we have a man who didn't work for it. And here we have a man who has worked hard, sweat, gave all. And yet God doesn't want Cain's, but he does want Abel's. Why? Well, I got looking at it. Listen to this. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You know why? Why do you have respect to Abel's offering? Let me give you a reason why. Chapter 3, verse 21. You hang with me. I'm heading somewhere. Chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Boy, I read that. You know where Abel got his idea at? He got it from God. When Adam and Eve sinned the garden, Adam must have told him, and Eve must have told him, hey, you know what God did when we messed up and we sinned and we was not right? He killed an innocent animal. He murdered an innocent animal. Hey, because it's not wrong. Amen. Hey, but he killed that innocent animal and killed them and skinned them and put clothes on Adam and Eve. He said, I believe Abel at some point said, Mama, I believe that way will work. Daddy, I believe that way will work. I believe that way is the way it'll work. I believe what you said's right. Amen. I believe how to get it. I believe how to do it. Amen. Because God did it that way. That must be the way God wants it done. So when it got time, old Cain went to gather it up, fruits of the ground. Abel said, no, that ain't it. That's not it. That ain't what you're supposed to do. He goes over here and gets him a lamb. And gets the firstlings of his flock. What I thought about as I read that verse, and you can think about it however you want to, I don't know. But I don't know that Abel didn't get every sheep that was firstborn of his flock. Says more than one, and it says of his flock. Seems to me he may have grabbed every one of them. And boy, I got to read that, whenever you decide that you want to be saved, I'm glad the sacrifice that saved me cost something. It cost something. Because I thought, boy, it did cost Abel something. But more than it costed Abel, it cost all them mamas. They're brand new babies. Amen. And boy, I'm glad that Jesus, it cost God something for me to be saved. He gave up his very best. He did not give a angel that had been on half rations. Hey, with a moth-eaten robe and barefoot walking around. That ain't what he gave. He didn't give the best angel. He didn't give the best prophet. He didn't give none of that. He gave the best that heaven had. Jesus. He gave the very best that heaven had. And that's Jesus. There is no better. You ever thought about this? Every song you read in the book of Revelation is sung about worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You ever thought about this? I wonder about when he left. If they did sing. Because the one they've been singing about and singing to wasn't there no more. He left to come where we was. To purchase us and to buy us. I thought about this. When he come back through with a basin full of blood to put on the mercy seat. I wonder what the angels said. I bet they said, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. As he came back in, amen. Yes. Listen to this. It cost God something. It cost him mama something for them babies. Let me say it's a complete sacrifice. But I got to reading that. Abel could have brought only what he wanted to bring. Yes. Abel could have brought the hams. If you ever eat a deer, boy, them back tenderloins. Or even front, but sweet meat, hallelujah, you ain't getting mine. Because they're good, amen. That tenderloin is good. That'll help you. I'm telling you, it'll help you, amen. If you eat that, it'll help you. Amen. It'll help you. But I like deer meat, though. But there's parts of deer I like better than other parts of deer. Amen. That's like chicken. I don't like his gizzard. I don't want no gizzards. You keep gizzards. Amen. I'm sorry. God bless you. You can have them, but it ain't mine. It ain't my favorite thing to eat. Amen. Hey, but one time I ate them and liked them. That's when old boy soaked them in hot sauce all night one night. And man, you couldn't taste that they was gizzards. Amen. That's the only way I'd ate them. That's the only way I did eat them. Amen. Only way I felt like them. Amen. But man, I got thinking about that. All Abel had to do was bring whatever he wanted to bring. But he didn't bring just the hams. He didn't just bring the shoulders. He didn't just bring the tenderloin. He brought everything there was this sheep. Every sheep. In the back, the Bible said this. It said this. And listen, the Bible said the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. He said he didn't only bring the meat. He brought the fat along with it. He was willing to give all. And I'm glad Jesus is a complete sacrifice. Just like Abel's sacrifice, Jesus is a complete sacrifice. I don't have to add to it by my church membership. I don't have to add to it by my baptism. I don't add to it by my good living. I don't add to my salvation because I read my Bible or pray. I'm saved whether I ever do anything for God or not. Amen. Listen, a dog barks because he is a dog. He don't bark to become a dog. You ain't never see a dog bark so he can become a dog because he already is a dog. I know that's deep. No, not really. Amen. But a saved child of God don't read his Bible to be saved. He reads his Bible because he is saved. I don't go to church to get saved. I go to church because I am saved. don't live for God to be saved or try to be good to be saved. I already am saved. That's why I try to live for God. Amen. That's it. Listen to this. He said, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. I do want to say this. We better come to God the right way. Because I've seen a lot of people come to God. I remember dealing with a bunch of young people one time. I was dealing with little kids. And man, they got to picking and laughing at one another. I finally just told all three of them, I said, I'll tell you what, guys. I said, let me ask you this. I said, if I told all three of you boys to go back to your seat and told you we ain't going to pray and get saved right now, would it be that big of a deal to you? And they said, well, I mean, I can go back to my seat. It's not really going to bother me too bad. I'll just do it some other. I said, well, then go back to your seat. You say, you didn't leave them alone? No, because they wasn't under Holy Ghost conviction. It did not bother them. They were going to hell. It did not bother them. They were lost. Amen. I mean, I could have let them in a little old prayer and had all three of them pray some little prayer and lead all three of them to a religious hell is what I could have done. But ain't no reason why I don't do that. Amen. God help us, amen. They wouldn't have been hard because all three of them boys had done came and they'd be willing to pray anything I told them to pray.
Right, come on.
But that ain't it. You've got to get under Holy Ghost conviction, be drawn of the Father, and then see yourself a lost, doomed, hell-bound sinner and get saved by the grace of God. Call it out unto God, amen. That's it, amen. Amen. Hebrews 11. And I'll stay here the rest of the time. Hebrews 11, verse number 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We saw the comparison. I want to give you some confirmation. And no, I ain't taking you through no confirmation class. I'm just giving you biblical confirmation. Amen. You say, what was Abel's confirmation? I'll give it to you. By which? By what? By his sacrifice. What was his sacrifice? Blood. Blood. Blood was his sacrifice. Amen. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Amen. I tell you how I have obtained, and I'll tell you how it's confirmed that you have obtained righteousness. It is by the blood of the crucified one. Amen. It's by the blood of the spotless, lovely Lamb of God. Amen. Well, I got to read the Old Testament. It's a blessing. If it's not help you, I just can't help you. All right. Listen, well, I got to read about Old Testament sacrifices. They get to bring them goats and them lambs and them oxes and them pigeons and doves. Well, I got to reading that. You know, over there in the Old Testament, they looked to see if that animal was blind or if the animal had a broke leg. Because the Lord wants the best. He wanted to prove a point. That sacrifice had to be perfect and without blemish. And by the way, Jesus was. Boy, I got to look at this, though. I got to look at it. Whenever they brought them animals, if the offerer brought the animal to the priest did not look at the offerer and say, well, not everything's right about you. Not everything's perfect about you. You're not all completely perfect. You're sinning your life. He did not do that. He said, well, you got blemishes here and here and here and over here, and you a lot of things in your life just ain't right. He did not look at the offerer. He looked at the offering. He looked at the lamb. He looked at the goat. He looked at, and can I tell you, when I got saved, at the moment I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, hey, what God looked at, he did not look at me. He didn't look at me. He didn't see my blemishes or my faults. He looked at the offering. He looked at Jesus. He looked at what he did. He looked at how he died. He looked at how he lived. He looked how perfect he was. And he said, I believe how to do it. That right there is perfect. He's blemishless. They'll fall on him, amen. And I got to go free. And he got bound. I got to live. And he had to die. Amen. Amen. Ain't you glad they looked on the sacrifice and not on the one who needed it? Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, amen. You say, how are we getting in? by the blood and nothing else. Amen. By the blood and nothing else. Amen. I'm not going because I'm a preacher. I love to preach. I love to live for God. But I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going because one night at 17 years old, God saw the sacrifice and He let me go free. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Listen to this. Not only confirmation, let me say there's a conversation going on in these verses. So what's that? God testifying of his gifts. How do you like that? I like that. God testifying of his gifts. So what's that mean? That means God said, whoa, what a gift. Whoa, hallelujah. That sacrifice is good, boy. How right there work, amen. How right there do it. Amen. He wasn't bragging on. And by the way, time out. Hold on. Hold on a minute. Here, God testifying of Abel. No, that ain't what happened. I didn't see that till I was preaching. Amen. God testifying of Abel. No, that ain't what took place. God testifying, Brother Corey, of his gifts. Not of Abel. Of the gift that Abel gave. Amen. Him telling that's what I needed. I needed one without blemish. I needed precious blood to be shed. I needed an innocent sacrifice. That's what you had to have, Abel. And you did it. Amen. Amen. Thank God for blood. Blood. Amen. His blood. My blood can do nothing. But his blood can do it all. Amen. You know what your human blood does this morning? Your human blood you got in you. It takes out impurities out of your body and brings life. Ain't that what Jesus did? He exited all of my impurities and gave me life. Amen. You know, if you get a cut on your arm, on your leg, wherever you get cut at, that your blood in a split second of time will rush to where your cut is and clot and clot and clot to make sure you don't die. You say, whoop-de-do? What's the big deal? Well, when you got down on the altar to pray or wherever you got saved at, I tell you, the blood rushed to where you are. The blood came in a split second, had a moment of time. It didn't take forever for it to get there. The blood came. The blood came, amen. And washed away all sin and put life in, amen. Amen. You know, they got a shelf life of blood. Blood only lasts for a certain amount of time. I think it's 13 years. I'm not sure. I can't say for sure. But it's years. But not a lot of years. And they got to use it or just throw it away. Because it's no longer good anymore. But can I tell you, I'm talking about a blood that does not have a shelf year to it. It's as fresh 2,000 years later as it was the day he shed his own blood. When he shed his blood on Calvary and blood streamed down his lovely side and off his lovely head and off his lovely hands and feet. Hey, Jesus' blood was dripping and pouring. And yet that same blood has just as fresh as it ever was. Amen. You say, I want forgiveness this morning. God does things I ought not do, so men say. Can I tell you, run to an altar. There's still fresh blood for every man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. You say, I'm lost. I don't know where I would go if I died. Hey, run to an altar. I promise you, in a moment of time, his blood will rush to where you are and forgive you. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 4 again. Last part of that verse. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. So he's dead, but he's still speaking. So how? He's still hollering out, the blood is enough. The blood's how you're going to go. The blood is the right sacrifice. There's got to be blood. You can't get blood out of a turnip. You can't get blood out of green beans like Cain did. You can't get blood out of a tater. Boy, you can't get blood out of anything else but a living animal or a living person. And when a living person died, he gave all of his blood. Amen. He don't want my good deeds or my good works. He does after I got saved. But not to be saved, he don't want them. Amen. Listen to this, and I'm done. Chapter 12, verse 24. Amen, amen, amen. A young man that believed in the blood. Hey, listen, I may not be young still. I don't know if you count me young or not, but I'm going to tell you this. I do believe in the blood. I believe the blood is enough. I believe the blood is what it takes. I believe in nothing but the blood. Amen. I believe it's all by the blood. Amen. Yes. Chapter 12, verse 24, and I'm done. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. But I believe Abel don't just talk about the sacrifice he made. We think about Abel, though, when he was killed by Cain for believing what he believed. His blood cried from the ground. The Lord said, the blood of thy brother cries unto me from the ground. I hear that your brother died. I know your brother's dead because I hear his blood crying that he's been killed. He's been murdered. He's dead. I hear your brother's blood crying from the ground. He said, but his blood, Jesus' blood, cries better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood cries condemnation, judgment. Hey, Abel's blood cries murder. Jesus' blood cries life. His blood cries redemption. His blood cries out justification. You say, what is that? It means just as if I never sinned, just as if I never will, and just as if I don't. Amen. Hey, I justified. Amen. That means I'm declared right, righteous, and holy in the sight of God because of being saved. His blood cries out reconciliation. He takes two offending people and puts them back together again. My sin had offended a holy, holy God. And he took my wicked, ungodly sin and myself and crucified it on his cross. What had offended God and made God mad, my sin, he done away with. And now I have fellowship with God. I'm reconciled to God because of his blood. Amen. It's because of the blood. Boy, if you come to piano, because of the blood. You say, why am I saved? Because of the blood. If you're saved, that's why you're saved. If you're born again, that's why you're born again. If you're going to heaven, that's why you're going to heaven. If your life is different, that's why your life is different. Because of the blood.